Good morning. Hi. Merry Christmas. Hey, Scott. Good morning. Scott has a rule. He has to say good morning every time he sees me. So thank you for doing that. I'm Lori Cripple. I'm the ministry coordinator for First United Methodist Church. Thank you. That includes the well. It's not necessarily my job to fill in for Ben, but he gives me the opportunity, and I'm glad to do that for him every once in a while. He and Emily are in Kentucky on their annual Christmas trek to go spend some time with Emily's family. So I hope they're getting some good rest and relaxation time. Whenever I fill in for Ben, I generally, as a rule, tend to be really short. So y'all are going to get out early today to beat that lunch crowd to the restaurants. We're having Mexican, if anyone wants to join us, the post-Christmas Mexican lunch. So that's my little Christmas gift to you. I love Christmas. Marcia was talking about Christmas. I was informed today we won't put our decorations up till January 6th. So if y'all pack yours up and need some extra Christmas happy, you can come to our house. I think I start thinking about Christmas like as soon as Vacation Bible School wraps up in July. Like the next thing on my radar is Christmas. I just love everything about the Christmas season, and I spend a whole lot of time thinking about December and what we're going to do. Like, my family is going to bake cookies, and we're going to see lights, and we're going to watch all these Christmas movies and build up the excitement. And then we get to December, and then we're kind of hit in the face with our calendar. I don't know if this happens to any of you guys, but especially this year, our kids were in school until Friday, December 20th. So that, like, the normal life of school and all their activities kind of ate up a lot of our Christmas joy time. And so we did, and some of that stuff was really good. We had a great time. It's just the busyness and trying to remember, like, why we have joy in the first place at Christmas. We also know several families who have lost someone in the last month or so, and there is no good time of year to lose a family member or somebody that you love, but there's something about the holidays that seem to just make it a little bit more difficult and can steal some of that Christmas joy. About a month ago, on November 29th, I was sitting over at the sanctuary for a funeral of one of those friends. And I've attended a lot of funerals in the sanctuary at the main campus, including two for my own parents. But I've never been to a funeral quite like the one last month. And some of you guys were at that funeral, too. We were there to celebrate the life of Bo Collins. And I have a picture of Bo and his mom, Penny, so that you guys can get a picture of who Bo was. I'm not quite sure when I met Bo. I kind of don't remember never not knowing Bo. And if you knew Bo, then you knew Bo. There wasn't a question. He was a local, and he is a local celebrity in Long Beach. And if there was ever a sporting event or anything going on, Bo wanted to be there. I had the benefit and the privilege of being one of Bo's pew buddies over at the 8:30 service. I'm not real sure when I started sitting in the fifth pew on the left side. Like, yes, I have an assigned seat. Sorry about that. But I sat there with my parents, and then I got married, and John came there, and my kids sit there. We sit on the fifth pew of the left side. The cripples sit on one end. The Lewises sit in the middle, and then Bo and Penny would sit on the end. We've recently had the addition of a sweet man named Mark that loved Bo, too. But over the years of getting the proximity of Bo, I've heard a lot of stories. He was an excellent storyteller. Most of the stories he told me, he really only wanted me to relate to John. Like, I wasn't necessary in knowing that stuff, but he wanted me to be able to tell John. It was a kiss, lots of kiss stuff, lots of car stuff. But one of the great things about Bo and his ability to tell stories is something Ben referenced during his funeral, that Bo told you stories not to inform you of something that he did, not to brag about what he got to do, but Bo wanted you to be part of that story. Like, he was so excited about what happened, he wanted you to be just as excited and to get to experience that with him. Bo's life was an adventure, and he wanted you to be a part of that. Bo's funeral was the day after Thanksgiving, so the church was decorated for Christmas already, and it was so appropriate because Bo really liked Christmas. We sang Deck the Halls in the middle of his funeral, and the service ended with Joy to the World, which was really, really nice because Bo did bring joy to everybody in his world. And the reason that I bring up Bo this morning is because he reminds me about what we're going to talk about today. Over this month of December, if you've been with us at the well, Ben's been talking about names for Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And today, as we wrap up the series, I'm going to give my own like fifth name to Jesus that that's not technically in that scripture, but I'm going to pretend today that it is. And my extra name for Jesus is Joy. Jesus came to us in the form of a baby. And I know not everybody is a baby fan, but I love babies. Like, if there's a baby in the room, I promise I'm listening to you, but I'm staring at the baby because I can't help it. I'm one of those people that wants to hold babies and puppies all the time. And I won't take your baby from you, but just know, like, I'm staring you down the whole time. There's a baby in there. But I love babies. They're cute, and they're just adorable, and they mostly smell good. And they're funny. Like, they're funny. If you need some joy in your life, just Google funny baby videos. They don't even mean to be funny. They just are. And then they grow into little kids. And you need a little more patience sometimes with kids because they're cute and they're funny and they mostly don't smell good. But they're really honest in the way that they love you and the way they talk to you. Here at the church, one of the things that brings me the most joy is when one of your kids says my name. Sometimes there's a miss, sometimes it's just teacher, sometimes I'm somebody else, but I know they're talking to me, and they tell me a really, really, really important piece of information that they need to pass on to me. That's one of the greatest, it will stop me in my tracks when a little kid wants to talk to me, because I just love to hear what they have to say. And if you were here with us on Christmas Eve, some of our kids told the very important Christmas Eve story. The Christmas story out of Luke, and our kids were dressed as shepherds. They were beautiful, and they told us that story. And so before we leave December, I want to go back and revisit that Christmas story. We're just going to read a couple parts of it, and we're going to pick up in Luke 2, starting with verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." When I thought about the Christmas story and the way I heard it this year, I kind of heard it the way that Bo would tell a story. With him so much on my heart, just thinking of how he would tell stories that include you. And so I looked at the Christmas story, you know, from that angle, that the angel didn't come to the shepherds to inform them of what happened. He didn't come to say, like, "Hey, I'm just going to let y'all know this really awesome thing happened over here," and then walk away. He wanted to include them and give them an invitation to come into that story. I don't know about for you, and I'll admit that I'm guilty of sometimes, like, when you have information and you know something, like, if it can be a little satisfying to be in on something and a little sense of importance almost, that you know something that somebody else doesn't, or you got to experience something that somebody else didn't. And that was not the case for the angel at all. The angel came to the shepherds to tell them about what had happened and then to give them an invitation of how to go find out for themselves. He could have just said, "Hey, Jesus was born, yay." But he said, "Here, like, this is how you're going to find the baby. Go see for yourselves," so that the shepherds got to be a part of the experience. Verses 15 through 17. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. The same thing for the shepherds. The shepherds could have gone and had this amazing, miraculous moment with Jesus, and they kept it to themselves, but they didn't. They immediately left to go tell everybody they knew about the good news that was right around the corner. And I found myself thinking about this as I prepared for today, like, wondering how many times in the month of December, when I was getting excited about what was going on, did I actually invite someone into that journey with me. Not just say like a blanket statement on Facebook, hey, we're having a Christmas service or we're having, you know, this lunch, you should come. But how many times did I personally invite someone and then tell them, hey, this is how you can come and meet me here. And not just what we were doing and what we're celebrating, but who we're celebrating. The greatest gift has been given to us. The most important thing had happened. And I'm not sure how many times I talked about exactly who that was and what comes along with that. The Savior of the world had been born. We've been reading through the month of December the prophecy that told us he was coming. And God kept his promise. God always keeps his promises. And God kept his promise and sent a baby to save us. In some other part of the world, while this was happening with Mary and Joseph, some wise men had begun their long journey to find this Christ child. They had read the ancient words of a prophecy. They saw the star in the sky and they began to follow it. And we hear about the wise men over in Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. My favorite translation of this verse, though, is in the King James Version. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. That word exceeding to me, I love it. It means like beyond expectation, more than you could possibly imagine. That's who the star was pointing to, and that's who Jesus is. Jesus is joy beyond our comprehension. And a life with Jesus is not a life, you know, that we have to follow rules and regulations that are sent to punish us for our sins, to remind us of the things we've done. A life with Jesus is freedom. A life with Jesus is love, and it's joy beyond our understanding. That's in the good times and the bad. And I know it's really easy for me to stand up here and say, like, in the bad times, you can have joy in Jesus. But you can, even if you're going through, you know, a really dark time, if you've lost someone, there's still joy to be found in Jesus. Jesus has been bringing joy to the world for over 2,000 years, and he's still doing it today. And sometimes I struggle with how to stay connected to that joy when things aren't, you know, feeling like they're going my way, when I'm not really sure I'm understanding why I'm in a certain situation. And so there's a piece of scripture, it might be familiar for a lot of you, but this is the thing that helps keep me connected to that joy in Jesus. And we find it in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. This is where Jesus says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. And this is the verse I love. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. And I'm going to stop right there just to talk about that. Because for me, sometimes, as many times as I've read that verse, there are times it feels incomprehensible to me that the Father loves me that much, and that's the way that Jesus loves me. I know how much I love my kids. Like, I would lay down my life for my kids. Maybe not at 1 o'clock in the morning when they woke me up because they can't sleep, and then, you know, everybody gets a little frazzled in our house, but I love them. Like, I would rip my heart out and give it to them if they needed it. They're so important to me, and that's the way that God feels about every single one of us. That's the way God loved Jesus, and that's the way that Jesus loves us. In fact, Jesus did lay down his life for every single one of us. And our Heavenly Father knows everything about us. Like, people on earth might not know. We might have some little secrets in our pockets, some things that we feel bad about, you know, some things we've never wanted to admit to. God already knows all of that. God knows everything about you and everything about me, and he still loves and adores us no matter what. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. If we walk with Jesus through this life, we will be given more joy than we can imagine. And as we finish up this Christmas season, I think it's worth reading Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 one more time. This is part of the verse that Ben's been reading. But reading this promise that was made so long ago for us, and that's kind of been our theme for December. So we're just going to read two verses of it, 6 and 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. God is so passionately committed to us that he puts all of his energy into pursuing us. And there's a line, if you've heard that song, Reckless Love, we sing it here often. There's a line in there that stays with me when I think about this and think of how God pursues me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. We have a God who loves us, who came to us, and never gives up on us. God came to us as one of us, not, you know, to live in some fancy castle and rule over us, but to walk with us, to live life with us, and then to save us so that we can have life with him in this life and the next. He gave us Jesus, who came to give us wisdom, who came to heal us, who came to love us, and who came to save us. As we finish out this year, who do you know that needs to hear the story of Jesus? Like, who needs a personal invitation to be a part of that journey of walking with him? It could be a friend or a coworker. It could be the person sitting next to you right now. Or it could be you. I know for me, in this new year that's coming up, I want to be more like my friend Bo in storytelling. Whether I'm down the hall teaching a lesson to the kids, if I'm talking to a neighbor, if I'm talking to a stranger, I don't want to just say like, hey, you should come to church because we're doing this. I want to say why. I want to say who is at church with us and give them a personal invitation to walk in this life with Jesus. I want to share joy to the world by sharing that ultimate joy of Jesus. So we're going to wrap up, like I told y'all, record time. We're going to wrap up today by singing Joy to the World. It is one of my favorite Christmas songs, and I want us to sing it together and really think about those words. So I'm going to go ahead and invite the band back up. But as they're coming, if you would pray with me. God, thank you so much for the gift that is Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much that you came down to walk with us and to live with us. Thank you for comforting us when we're hurting and giving us hope. Thank you for giving us that light in the darkness. Thank you for the peace that we can find in you. And thank you for the joy that you bring to the world. Thank you for that gift of Jesus. We love you so much, God.